I want to quickly apologize and say that should have gone through verse 31. And Starlin put the right verses up that I gave her, and Angel Gate read the verses. I'm going to read verse 31, because that's where that should have gone to. The final verse of that chapter is, "But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." So I'm sorry that I put the wrong write up in there. I wanted to point out a couple of things in the bulletin and things that are coming up. Be in prayer for our youth group. They're going on the beach retreat next weekend. So the youth group is going to go to Caswell, and they're going to learn about growing as disciples and have fun at the beach. So be in prayer for them. Angel and I are both thankful that we have a church that fills in for us when we have conflicts or commitments. Todd and Tamara Baker are going to take the group. So pray for Todd and Tamara, because they're going to have a great weekend with a bunch of teenagers at the beach. And last year it was Nusheen and me, and this year it'll be Todd and Tamara. So I pray that they have a great weekend. Also, pray in our church for young adults in their 20s. We're restarting the refuge group, and this year Candy and I, our family's going to host it. So that'll be at our house at 5:15. If you know anybody in their 20s, you can tell them about it. They can come today. If you're in your 20s, or in that in your 20s means 18 to 30. So college students, young professionals, young people working, and you want to be part of this group, just grab me or Candy after the service and you can come. We'd love to have you. And then a new ministry, you see it in the bulletin there under opportunities for ministry. It says food distribution. That's a food pantry. We're partnering with the Point Church, and that's going to start on October 5th, once a month, first Saturday of the month in our lower level. This coming Saturday, September 21st, we're going to have an event that will just be for volunteers that want to get to know each other from both churches. So if you'd like to be part of that ministry, let me know after the service, because we haven't got the time set for the event on September 21st, this coming Saturday. But please let me know, and we will get that information to you. So these are things coming up. You see this week and beyond, opportunities for ministry, a lot of neat things happening in the life of the church. And we hope you can find where you best would fit in to serve and be part of the life of the church. Let me pray, and then we'll get into the message time this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak in this moment. I pray that your word would be spoken, and you would open our hearts to hear what you have to say to the church, and that we would respond in faith in the living of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know this Christian couple. I know them pretty well. They spent much of their life together hosting people in their home. Sometimes the people they have are overnight guests. Sometimes they come just for dinner. The couple has a pool in their backyard. They've hosted groups from church. They do it throughout the summer. They host groups from the neighborhood. Sometimes the people who come as guests are people that they know really well, close friends, family. Sometimes it's people they don't know that well. One year, there was a play running in their town, and the cast was made up of actors from all over. They didn't know these actors, but the play ran over the holiday, so they had the entire cast to their home for Thanksgiving dinner, a time normally reserved for family. They had in a bunch of people they didn't know because they wanted to have them in. This couple loves music. They have a piano in their living room, not a TV. Often they host times of singing with their guests. It could be show tunes. It could be worship music. Having all these people into their intimate private space is a lot of work, but for them it's a labor of love. In their guest room, they keep photos of all the people who have stayed, and having been in this house almost four decades, they've run out of wall space for all the guests that they've had. In this work of hosting and singing and eating and playing, they serve God and love others. In doing so, they exercise two spiritual gifts that God has given them, hospitality and music. Would you enjoy opening up your house to an almost revolving door of guests coming through, kind of an informal Christian bed and breakfast? Maybe some of you would. Maybe you too have been given that spiritual gift. maybe that wouldn't be your thing. But like them, you have spiritual gifts. When we are in Christ, have that relationship with God in Christ, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are given gifts, and God wants to work through your life. The key word in the phrase spiritual gifts is spiritual. The gift is a manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. What do we mean by the idea of spiritual or spirituality? If a worship service is full of loud, pumping, exciting music, people speaking in tongues, a lot of spontaneity, the pastor walking back and forth on the podium, spewing sweat, getting the crowd riled up, well, that's considered to be a spirit-filled worship service. Now, some would say that only that is a spirit-filled worship service. The Quakers would disagree. In their worship services, it's very quiet, and nobody makes any noise until the Spirit moves. So that would be another form of a spirit-filled worship service. But some think that only if it's loud and spontaneous and charismatic, it can be called spirit-filled. Does the Holy Spirit only work in Sunday morning spontaneity? 1 Corinthians 12:1 reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, except if you read that in the language that it was originally written, the Greek, the word gifts isn't in there. The Greek word is pneumatikon. That's an adjective, a plural adjective that could mean spiritual things, spiritual matters, spiritual persons. Or in the case of context, the way the rest of this chapter reads, it's translated spiritual gifts. And that's a good translation. A mistake that people make is focusing on the gift instead of the giver. The most important idea in 1 Corinthians 12 is that in Christ we have a relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. As that relationship grows strong through prayer, worship, and the practice of spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices, as we grow in these ways, we come to learn what our gifts are. The gifts I mentioned in the opening story about the Christian couple practicing hospitality and music, those gifts are not in any of the classic spiritual gift lists found in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11, in 1 Corinthians 12:27 through 30, Romans 12:3 through 8, Ephesians 4:11 through 12, and 1 Peter 4:9 through 12. Those are the passages people generally turn to when they want to find spiritual gift lists. And what you find in those four readings is not identical. So you'd have to compile those together to come up with a list, and that list would not include music or hospitality. Now, maybe you have heard teaching, or maybe you believe that in order for it to be a spiritual gift, it has to be one of the attributes listed in one of those passages. I read it a little bit differently. I think those lists are, for instance, lists. The Holy Spirit pours into our life, and then we are given gifts. For instance, healing, working miracles, speaking, teaching. But I think the Holy Spirit can supernaturally empower countless other personality traits or abilities or gifts. And I'm not sure that the gifts are fixed. So let's say 15 years ago, you filled out one of those spiritual gift assessments, a spiritual gift inventory, and the result is that you have the gift of working miracles based on that inventory. Now, first of all, people would want to confirm, is that really what's happening? But that confirmation isn't necessary so much as you being faithful to the Holy Spirit's gifting of you. But does that mean if that happened 15 years ago, that's your gift for the rest of your life? 1 Corinthians 12:10, working miracles? Well, maybe that's your gift for the rest of your life. But I think the Holy Spirit is dynamic. God continues to work in a deep relationship with us throughout our lives. And that means our lives are dynamic too. That means we see new things all the time, including new discoveries about ourselves. Part of the aspect of being in a relationship with God and working with the Holy Spirit is seeing new things every day. Newness is your story when you follow Jesus, whether you're 15 or 85. Each day is new with God. We as a church are going to ask all who come and participate to take a spiritual gifts inventory. We're going to do this to guide us in living into our gifting. As we do, I want to offer you this. Take the inventory. Do so with hope. Do so with expectation and enthusiasm. Just don't be handcuffed by the results. Maybe in your pursuit of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be revealed to you that you have the gift of knowledge, which is on one of the lists, and you apply that as a scientist in your work as a researcher. Well, scientist isn't going to be on one of the spiritual gift lists. Or maybe you're gifted with leadership, and you apply that in a work setting or in politics, or in some way that's not specifically or directly tied to one of the lists in Scripture. Maybe your gift is courage, and you work in a profession that puts you in danger, so you can help other people who are in danger. Well, scientist and courage are not things listed when you take the spiritual gifts inventory, but that's okay. The inventory is a tool that we'll use to help people serve God in ways that bring joy, enable them to excel. You are gifted. Everyone is. What you do with your gift and the results of your use of it, the fruit, what's produced when we live into our gifting, is going to reveal whether or not the Holy Spirit is in it. We're not going to let spiritual gifting be divisive in our church. There are some churches that have gone through turmoil because some Christians think that exercising the gift of speaking in tongues is the only evidence of being filled with the Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues. Tongues is an example of one of the gifts that Paul lists. Angel just read the list. But if you go further, that's 1 Corinthians 12, and then the verse that I hastily read, 1 Corinthians 12, the last verse, 31, leads into 13, which is the love chapter. That's the highest thing to reach for. Chapter 14 is an entire chapter in 1 Corinthians about warning against the misuse of the gift of tongues. I believe in the gift of tongues. I don't have it myself, but people who I know speak in tongues in order to grow close to God. And they never use that gift to disrupt the work of the church. The Pentecostals are one of the groupings of churches that really emphasize speaking in tongues. There are many denominations like ours that don't emphasize that gift. These different churches have got to work side by side together for the building up of the kingdom of God. If we don't have the gifts of tongues, we can't be too uncomfortable with our brothers and sisters who speak in tongues. We should celebrate that they're using a gift God has given them, and they can't see us as spiritually inferior when we don't have that gift. All disciples of Jesus, hear this now. All disciples of Jesus are charismatic Christians. There's no such thing as a Christian who's not charismatic. Now, the popular definition of charismatic is, again, speaking in tongues. What charisma actually means is a gift of grace. Charis in Greek means grace. A charism or a charisma is a gift of grace. So, if your gift is to be a teacher, and you're teaching a Bible study, or you're exercising that gift being a Christian who teaches in public schools, you're living as a charismatic Christian. If you have the gift of knowledge and you use that to help other Christians have a deep knowledge of the faith, you're living as a charismatic Christian, and so on with the gifts. Living the Spirit-filled life ought to lead to unity among passionately devoted followers of Jesus. Not division. Remember why we receive the spiritual gifts. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We are gifted to glorify God, advance His kingdom, and build up the church, the body of Christ. We know we're using the gifts properly when they produce, when the produce of them is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5:22. When that's what's coming out of our lives, then it's likely that the Holy Spirit is who is speaking through our lives, through the gifting that we're expressing. Why put this emphasis on the relationship with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit was sent to be God's presence with us. I just want to list some things that the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit shows us truth. The Holy Spirit helps us recall all that Jesus said and did. The Holy Spirit helps us live by Jesus' leadership. The Holy Spirit helps us know that what we've been taught about Jesus is accurate, and the Holy Spirit helps us see when something being said about Jesus is not right. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment. The Holy Spirit functions as the point of connection in our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and leads us to glorify Jesus. I love the way Angel led into the prayer time and the way Starlin has led us in music this morning to help us praise and glorify Jesus. In Jesus' conversation with the disciples at the Last Supper, especially the portion that's recorded in John chapters 16 and 17, he emphasized the importance of the Holy Spirit. We cannot follow him without the Spirit being active in our lives. Union with Christ. That's what the Spirit-filled life is, and the church is the body of Christ. So union with him includes union with each other. In leading people to Jesus, in establishing new ministry, in helping those in need, and in sowing love, we see the Holy Spirit at work and we're part of it. To live in the Spirit, we have to open ourselves to God and trust God. God is the initiator. We don't work really hard so that we attain the Spirit or earn the right to have the Spirit in our lives. We receive the Spirit as a gift. A gifted preacher does not convert people to faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit does that. A gifted healer does not make the wounded well or whole. The Holy Spirit does that. A gifted servant does not bless the church by leading all of us to humility. That's the work of the Holy Spirit through the one exercising the gift of servanthood. The preacher, the healer, the servant, and all others who use their gifts are God's instrument. God gets it going. God sustains everything. Through the Spirit, God empowers us. Living the Spirit-filled life is turning inward, meeting the Spirit, and then turning outward to face the world in the Spirit's power, following the Spirit's agenda. I began by talking about a couple I know who expresses spiritual gifts, music and hospitality. Through their love, the Holy Spirit ministers to people. How can you find out your gifts? How can you know the way that God is best going to work through you to bless the world? Well, heighten your spiritual sensitivity so you can hear the Spirit's voice. And the way that happens is when we live an active faith. These are going to be some very basic things I say. First of all, volunteer in the church and in local mission opportunities. Be involved in ministry, but not as a tiresome obligation. Not as a slogging, we got to get this done and I'm obliged. No, be involved in ministry with a good and happy heart. And as you do, reflect on how you're meeting God in serving in the church and in the community. In addition to ministry, grow close to God by studying the Word. Make the Bible a huge part of your life. Read chunks of Scripture every day. Prayerfully meditate on those passages that really speak to you. A few weeks ago in the sermon, I told a story about an MIT intellectual who came to faith by reading the Proverbs. She was reading the Proverbs just to get these people who kept inviting her to church off her back because she respected them. So she read the Proverbs and she said, I don't know what's going on here, but I feel like someone's speaking to me. Well, for you, it might not be the Proverbs. I mean, it might be the Gospel of Mark. It might be the book of Ezra. I had a Bible study teacher a few weeks ago say, why do we read Ezra? I said, I don't know. Read it and find out. But make reading the Bible a core part of your life. Be involved in Bible study with other Christians because we learn from each other. Now, it sounds basic to say, well, we're going to learn how to hear the Spirit by coming to worship, by serving in church and in the community, by studying the Bible. It is basic, but basic as it may be, building life around these spiritual disciplines, when we do it with a good attitude, because you can do all those things kind of as a obligation that really wears you out and burns you out. But if we go through those disciplines with joy, with a willing heart, our sensitivity starts to come about. We grow in our sensitivity and ability to hear the Spirit, to receive what the Spirit gives, and respond when the Spirit calls. As I said, as a church, we're going to take a spiritual gifts inventory. This is part of our Growing Young initiative. We're going to roll this out through small groups, but if you're not currently in a small group, we're going to make it possible for you to take that inventory as well. And this is for everybody here. If you've been here 25, 30 years, if this is your first Sunday, everyone's invited to this. We're going to do this in upcoming weeks. We will share the results so that you might be able to say, okay, I'm going to participate in church life and find ways of maximizing and expressing my gifting. We want everyone to feel that incredible joy that comes in serving God together within the church family. God invites us to live a Spirit-filled life. We give control of our lives over to God, and in doing so, we start to really see who God is. The Christian couple I talked about to open the message, they see God. When they open their home, have people in, sing with them, play with them, laugh with them, you might see God in other ways. When you teach, when you serve, when you speak spiritual knowledge of prophecy, the gifts come from the Spirit, and when we live in our gifting, we are drawn closer to God. As individuals, as a church, we are drawn closer to God. And that is where we want